Hi, welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Today, let's think about the second chapter of Judges. Judges is the seventh book of the Old Testament. Last week, we thought about the judge Ehud, and today we want to think about the situation the Israelites found themselves in after the death of Joshua. I'll read from Judges chapter 2, verse 11 and following. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods and among the gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers, who plundered them, and he sold them into the hand of their surrounding enemies, so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm, as the Lord had warned, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were in terrible distress. Verse 16. Then the Lord raised up judges, who saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they whored after other gods and bowed down to them. They soon turned aside from the way in which their fathers had walked, who had obeyed the commandments of the Lord, and they did not do so. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned back and were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. So this passage gives us a good picture of what was going on with Israel during the time of the judges. The book of Judges tells the story of the Israelite rebellion against God in the years after the death of Joshua. Joshua was the successor to Moses, and Joshua had led the nation for many years, and Joshua had urged the nation to be faithful to God. God had called this people, the Israelite people, to be distinct among the nations. They were called to be different, just as Christians today are called to be different. God had promised to make Israel a nation through whom the whole world would be blessed. And we learn in the Bible that blessing would be in the form of a Messiah, Jesus Christ. And that one unique Messiah would deliver people from God's wrath against sin and save them for a blessed life in eternal union with God Almighty. So, the nation of Israel was to be different from the other nations. But history shows that at times, many times, the Israelites disobediently adopted the religious practice of the pagan nations, incorporating idol worship into what was supposed to be their exclusive worship of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The book of Judges records a number of times where God allowed his people to be oppressed by foreign nations so that they would repent of their sins and return to him. One of the lessons we learn from the book of Judges is that when God's people stray from their worship and exclusive devotion to God, then, for a time, God will allow his people to be disciplined through the strong and sometimes oppressive hand of those who very plainly have no loyalty to God. God allows his people to be oppressed so that they would repent of their sins and return to him. We human beings share several things in common, and one of those things is this. We all too often want God to fulfill his promises while excusing ourselves from the responsibilities that come along with those promises. Being a follower of God, being a disciple of Jesus Christ, carries with it great responsibility. The responsibility to be exclusively loyal to the God of the Bible. Of course, it is hard to be loyal to a God we do not know. Therefore, we must continually be seeking to know God better. Over time, the people of Israel recognized that they had sinned against God, and they responded with deep sorrow. A deep desire to repent of sin is a measure of spiritual sensitivity. Repentance means asking God to forgive us, and then abandon our sinful ways. But we can't do this sincerely unless we are truly sorry, sorry from the heart, sorry for our sinful actions against God. When we are aware that we have done wrong, we should admit it plainly to God rather than try to cover it up or hope we can get away with it. The book of Judges records the cycle of sin, God's judgment, and repentance. Each generation failed to teach the next generation how to love and follow God, even though this was at the very heart of God's law and His purposes for the nations. In Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, we read this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." The very heart of God's law teaches that parents and family are responsible for teaching children the truths of God. It's tempting to leave that work of teaching biblical faith to the church or to a Christian school or some other organization, but actually the responsibility rests with the family. In chapter 2, verse 11, we read that the Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. In doing this, the Bible says that the nation abandoned the Lord. Baal was the god of the storm and rains. Therefore, he was thought to control vegetation and agriculture. Ashtaroth was the mother goddess of love, war, and fertility. Temple prostitution and child sacrifice were a part of the worship of these Canaanite idols. This generation of Israelites abandoned the faith of their parents and began to incorporate the worship of the gods of their neighbors. Many things can tempt us to abandon what we know is right. The desire to be accepted by our neighbors, friends, co-workers, and others can lead us into behavior that is unacceptable to God. Peer pressure can be a very powerful force at any age. We often desire to be accepted by others, yet that desire can be so great, so powerful, that we turn away from what we know is right in the eyes of God. We may fall into turning away from God so that we can experience the often short-term acceptance and praise of others. You may have heard the word syncretism. Syncretism. Or syncretistic. Syncretism is a word that means the merging of different religious, social, or ideological practices and beliefs. Syncretism has always been a problem and is a common part of the human condition. Syncretism is a morphing of different beliefs into a belief and practice that is completely different. For example, if a group of people is devoted to worshiping and living for the God of the Bible, but then they also include worship of the earth itself, a worshiping of the creation rather than the Creator, and by the way, this practice is despised by the one true God of the Bible, then that true religion has morphed into something completely different. It mixes the worship of the one true God with the worship of the thing that God created, which turns out to be a whole different set of beliefs and practices. The odd thing is that the exclusivity of both original religious practices is corrupted so that what emerges is a completely different religious belief system and practice, a practice that satisfies neither one of the original religious systems. Well, the Israelites accepted and incorporated the gods of the pagan nations into their worship. They turned their attention to man-made gods, which have no real power, and in the process insulted the one true God who had protected and sustained them for so many years. This is a situation that could not be tolerated. Interestingly, there is much space in the Old Testament devoted to God's punishment towards those who worship idols. Idol worship was, in the first place, an insult to God's very own character, but secondly, it violated the first two of the Ten Commandments, and we can read those in Exodus 20. The Canaanites had gods for almost every season, activity, or place. To them, the God of Israel was just another god to add to their collection of gods. Israel, however, was to worship only the Lord. The Canaanite idols represented sensual, carnal, and immoral aspects of human nature. God's nature is spiritual and moral, perfect, holy. Adding the worship of idols to the worship of God could not be tolerated. So let's learn from the Israelites and from the book of Judges. Let's be on watch, on guard, against all the subtle forms of idol worship that can tempt us. All the people, things, dreams, and expectations that can take the place of our true devotion and allegiance to the God of the Bible. Let me pray for you. God, I pray today for those listening that you would guard them, that you would guard each of us from the temptation to turn away from you, turning instead to those things, those people who promise to satisfy and supply our deepest needs. I pray, Lord, that you would give each person listening a good day, draw them closer to you, show them your will for this day and this week. And I ask, Lord, that you would give health and protection and your powerful mercy to each one listening. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Join us next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.